T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number one.
Astros start the American League Championship Series tomorrow, 7:07 first pitch, and the number one question and concern for Astros fans, what is the update on Lance McCullers? Will he be able to pitch in this series? His general manager, James Click, gave an update today.
He's still being examined. We have until 10 o'clock tomorrow to set the roster, so we're just going to keep looking at him, see how he is over the next 20 hours or so. But obviously, anytime you got a pitcher coming out with a forearm anything, you want to take your precautions and just make sure you know exactly what's going on. So he did go for an MRI, just precautionary, just to make sure everything's okay in there. So we're waiting for those images to be reviewed and get an examination on him, but we'll see where that goes.
So you can't tell us whether he's going to be available or not right now?
Correct. We're still having him he's still being examined, and so until the examination is done, we're not going to have an answer to that one.
All right, that's James Click, the general manager, and that was his statement. Earlier in the day, John Heyman, one of the top baseball writers in the country, said there is great concern for McCullers in the short term, and he's most likely out for the ALCS. So those are the two things we've been hearing, one from the general manager and then from John Heyman, one of the top baseball writers, Clint. And this is big, big, big time concern for the Astros.
Yeah, look, I think it's a major concern for the Astros, obviously. You got a guy that looked every part of the ace in this season and this in the first series in the playoffs. And he's, anytime you hear any pitcher talking about forearm tightness, you get concerned. But when it's a pitcher of this caliber that you're, that you're dependent on and heavily dependent on, and particularly in the ALCS and a World Series, if you can get there, it's a major, major concern. I mean, it sounds like they've got until 10 o'clock tomorrow to make the decision, 10 a.m. tomorrow to make the decision on Lance McCullers and whether he's going to be on the ALCS roster or not. And I think that'll be the tell-all, right? That'll tell us what the final decision is on Lance McCullers, at least for the ALCS, if not for the entire postseason. So the pressure is ratcheted up on the other starters. The pressure is ratcheted up on a guy like Zach Greinke, who probably wasn't expecting to produce much and provide much for the Astros down the stretch. He's going to be leaned on heavily, I would imagine, in that four-starter role. And we'll see. Better a future Hall of Famer than an unproven young player that the moment could be too big for. That's for sure.
We just talked to Brandon Backe. He was on with us 2:35. You can use that Odyssey Rewind feature. And what he said, I thought was a really good note that, hey, man, we don't need Lance to be out another couple years if this thing can get serious. Because when you hear right forearm soreness like that, that can kind of lead to the elbow issues. We don't need him to be out another 2 years, and they've invested 4 years, $85 million in them. So for the team, like on both sides, this is a situation where they're probably going to play this very, very careful to make sure they don't do any further damage, especially him just coming 2 years removed from Tommy John before. So I bet they err on the side of caution, and it'll be interesting to see the decision they make and the move they make with Lance McCullers. Also on the injury front, Jake Meyers, your guy, who went out in game four with a shoulder issue, he spoke to the media today and went and worked out to kind of get an understanding how he's feeling right now.
We're watching him out there right now. He's just uncorked a couple pretty good throws to the plate. So that's the main thing, is just making sure that everything feels good and is stable. And I thought the two throws looked pretty good, so hopefully he's feeling great.
I'm feeling good. Feeling a lot better. The past couple days I've been just trying to, you know, the main goal is to feel better. So just, you know, doing rehab and stuff like that to get stronger.
If they want you, are you available?
Yes, I believe so.
My man Jake said, yes, that was first. James Click, the GM, describing what they saw and how he got on the field today. And then that was Jake saying, hell yeah, I'm ready to go.
Jake said,
damn right.
Jake said, yep, I think so. I think, let me back up a little bit. I don't know what the team thinks,
damn,
but yes,
right,
if it's up to me, hell yeah, I'm ready. So good to know that you got one of your three center fielders and one of your three eight-hole hitters back available, it appears, before the ALCS cranks up.
Well, it is important when you connect it with Lance, because now you feel better if Jake can go. Now, okay, all right, this time we're just going to keep two outfielders, and we feel pretty good about Jake and McCormick. If we need to add another pitcher, that may be the space we do, either take one of the, you know, set down Suri, and maybe he doesn't make this. Although you'd want him to be there because of his speed and maybe still a base late. Myers being able to go is a big deal there too, because it means now I have a luxury of keeping two center fielders and not having to carry three.
Well, it's all of a sudden a numbers game, right? And the numbers game have to be tilted in the favor of another pitcher, an additional pitcher, instead of a third outfielder or a pinch
third
runner
catcher.
Or a third catcher. You know, the numbers have to be tilted towards making sure you've got the best arms available, and not just arms available in a relief effort behind the four starters, but now you've got to have that plus, you know, whatever that fourth start looks like. Is it a bullpen game? Do you need more relief? Because Greinke's the guy that's going to go, and you expect him not to be able to go into five and six innings. So, yeah, it's definitely a numbers game that that Dusty and Brent Strom have to figure out before 10 a.m. tomorrow. We'll see.
Big 3-3, number two.
All right. Also from Dusty Baker, the managers, he spoke with the media. He announced his starters for game one and game two. Game one, no surprise, Framber Valdez. And game two, Luis Garcia will start. And Clint, last series, Lance McCullers was fantastic in getting this team off into a good start. But he was the only one that pitched, in terms of starters, well. All right, Framber got pulled early in game two. Garcia got pulled real early in game three. They need Framber Valdez to step up and pitch close to what he's capable of. The guy that we saw last year who was this team's best pitcher in the postseason. They've got to get a better effort than him getting pulled out of the fourth inning like he did in game two.
Well, I think it's safe to say that they got to get a better effort from all these guys. I mean,
really?
Framber Valdez has got to go deeper. Luis Garcia's got to go deeper. And if and ever we do see, which we probably will with game three or game four, Jose Urquidy, you know, those guys, it's more important now. I said the pressure's ratcheted up on those guys right now, because not that that you expect them to do anything they can't do, but the blow-up start of going two or three innings just is extremely painful to this rotation when you're missing your fourth starter. Yeah. You need that fourth start to come around in this particular series, and really in the World Series as well. When that fourth game hits, I don't care what it looks like. When that fourth game hits, you need to have as much of your bullpen rested and ready to rock and roll. And the only way you do that is if Framber Valdez, Luis Garcia, and Jose Urquidy, if those guys can give you five and six innings each. If those guys are two and three, and things like we saw from Luis Garcia last time, man, it's always painful, but it's more painful now in a seven-game series without McCullers than it was before.
If this is a long series, which it could be because these teams seem to be even,
right,
especially with McCullers potentially not being involved in this series, Framber's going to start multiple times in this series. And damn it, they got to have him not, as you just said, eat up the bullpen. Like, he has got to – it feels like he's got to give you at least six. The games that he starts, he has got to – he's got to be longer – out there, because the other games, man, I like Luis Garcia and I like Urquidy, but I mean, especially Garcia, I just, if I'm Dusty, I'm telling myself, all right, I'm going to keep a close eye, and I'm just in my mind understanding I'm going to have to go to the pen. He's got to somehow balance that off to where he's going six, Seven would be fantastic into the seventh, but he himself, he's got to get innings at least and stay in the game so they don't have to use their bullpen.
Big three at three, number three.
All right, we got Thursday night football tonight. The GOAT, Tom Brady, is going to go into Philly, and they are playing the Eagles. And Jalen Hurts, Houston kid, been playing a lot better here lately. Has played pretty well. They went and got a win on the road against Carolina last week. Obviously, the Bucs beat the hell out of the Dolphins last week, put up 45. This ought to be an interesting matchup tonight. On paper, it looks like the Bucs should blow them out, but the Eagles have played much better and much closer to opponents here of late.
Yeah, look, it's the NFL, man. You never know what's going to happen, right? The Patriots, who we watched the Texans should have beat last week, I mean, they played a tight one all the way down to the last second versus Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucs. So you mentioned it, man. Jalen Hurts right here in Houston. He's a Houston kid. He's doing things in the NFL that's never been done before. In his first career eight starts, 2,000-plus passing yards and 400-plus rushing yards. It's never been done in the NFL before, for what it's worth. He's doing big things. I don't know if they're going to be worth the flip in Philly or not. I don't know if they got the ability to compete with Tampa or not, but it is going to be interesting with his legit dual threat ability tonight against one of the best run defenses and overall defenses in the entire league. We'll see what they can come up with. This is going to be fun to watch for sure. I don't know what the hell it's going to look like, but it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't know why. I have a sneaky feeling that this is going to be a close game. I don't know. Like I said, on paper, when they throw Antonio Brown and he's been going off lately, and Evans, who both of them had over 100 yards and two touchdowns last week, and Godwin and that whole crew, I don't know. We always see the road team that has to play on the road on Thursday night, short week, get interesting. And I don't know, man. I know it's the NFL, and I know these are professional athletes, and Tom Brady's a hell of a leader. Man, sometimes with some of the games the Bucs have, boy, you feel like it may be hard to get up for a team like the Eagles.
Not on Thursday night football, baby.
Not on Thursday night, because that I added up. Shoot, man, sometimes it'd be hard to get up for the damn Eagles, man. I'm sorry, man. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that crowd really gets them going. But it should be a good one. Tom Brady, the bright lights again. We'll see what happens tonight. Eagles and Bucs coming up. Tonight, 7:30 on Fox. All right, our baseball insider, our Sports Radio 610 Odyssey MLB insider, Tony Gwynn Jr., he joins us. Now, Tony Gwynn, he's got some explaining to do because he had the White Sox in the World Series. So we'll see what the hell happened to his choice. And got to get from him, can the Astros still get to the World Series without Lance McCullers? If it comes to that, can they get to the World Series without Lance McCullers? Tony Gwynn Jr., he'll answer that coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
As we get set for game one of the American League Championship Series, the Astros will host the Boston Red Sox coming up tomorrow. First pitch, 7 o'clock. Will be out there on the corner of Congress and Crawford live, so make sure you come hang out as we pregame this bad boy. And with us right now to get us ready for the ALCS is our Sports Radio 610 Odyssey MLB insider, Tony Gwynn Jr. He joins us, and the big story right now is the Lance McCullers watch. He was sensational in the White Sox series. It's up in the air. He's still being evaluated, leaving game four with right forearm tightness. My question, if they had to do it, can the Astros still get to the World Series, get past the Boston Red Sox without Lance McCullers?
Oof. Ah, man, I don't think so. I mean, that's how good Lance was in that last series. Like, he was dominant. And I you feel bad for him because, as we talked about last week, he's been looking forward to this moment, to be that ace, to be the guy that the team is leaning on. And it sounds like right now his body may be betraying him a little bit. So hopefully the news gets better. But you got to be pretty frightened if you're an Astro fan right now, hearing about this tightness in his elbow.
Tony, I mean, have you ever heard of a pitcher with forearm tightness that obviously is severe enough to need an MRI, and the team's evaluating, the doctors, the trainers are evaluating, and then they turn around and within a week they're able to pitch again?
Not normally. There are maybe a few occasions, and I don't even know if those occasions were within a week that they came back. Maybe a couple weeks they've come back and been able to go, but a lot of times, especially nowadays, when you hear forearm tightness, that is code for Tommy John. And so it doesn't look good right now, to say the least, to have this information coming out, him leave the game early, and now the forearm tightness is the big story of the day. I would say normally it doesn't bode well.
Tony Gwynn Jr., our Sports Radio 610 Odyssey MLB insider, joins us, getting us ready for the ALCS. See, Tony, I was talking to Clint about this, and Clint and you both of you, professional athletes, played at the highest level. To think that you would be starting in a closeout game in the American League Division Series, and you walk to Dusty and tell him, I'm not 100% myself and I should probably come out. To me, in that game, closeout game, that was what was alarming to me, that he himself, knowing he's a competitor, knowing how big – this wasn't a game in April. This was to get to the American League Championship Series. That was what was really alarming to me, that he was the one who felt something and took himself out.
You're absolutely right, man, because, listen, I think especially in a day and age where – athletes are much more aware of their bodies. Typically, you get to this point in the season, most, if not all, athletes are willing to just say, forget it. I'm going out there. This may be my only opportunity. So you're right. The mere fact that he went to Dusty and said that, I think that's scary. I think there's no better person that knows their body than the athlete themselves. And when so many guys would try to pitch through that, the mere fact that he went to Dusty, I think, really speaks volumes to how serious this could be.
Tony, what does this mean for the rest of the staff? What kind of pressure is put on those guys now?
I think, personally, the pressure falls on Garcia's shoulders, because I think you know what you're getting out of Valdez. You know what you're getting out of Urquidy. Garcia is the wild card. Can he step into that fold and be the type of pitcher that you can depend on and be that three-headed monster as you go into a best-of-seven series? I think that's a huge question mark. And I don't know that the Houston Astros bullpen is deep enough to absorb that kind of hit. And so two things are going to happen. Garcia is going to have to pitch well and pitch better, and the offense is going to have to continue to swing the bats the way they have. And that is the true wild card in this whole situation. The offense is consistently putting up runs like they did that last series. It may be enough to overcome it, but that's a tall ask, especially going up against a Red Sox team that has swung the bats equally as well.
What do you do with Zach Greinke?
Well, you may have to move him into their rotation. You know, I think I think they're going to have to make a decision one way or another in terms of McCullers, because they do have some guys that weren't on that initial roster that they can use in a series like this. So I think Greinke is the obvious choice to move into the rotation. I think you probably give Garcia a run and see how he does. If he can't pitch better, then, yeah, maybe you look to go to Greinke. You know he's got the experience. You know he won't be afraid of the moment. And, again, the offense will have to be a big piece of this puzzle if they're going to advance.
Yeah, I'm with you as we are on the line with the Sports Radio 610 Odyssey MLB insider Tony Gwynn Jr. Yeah, Greinke has to be it. I would just trust him over Jake Odorizzi. Christian Javier would be the other options for them. Listen, you just to peek back in the White Sox series, because you picked the White Sox to get to the World Series, and you weren't alone. I think a lot of people thought they were a really complete team. I believe that's what you thought. They were the most complete team in the American League. What happened? Why were the Astros so dominant in that series? They beat them 31-18 was the run differential, and that came with the White Sox scoring 12 runs in one game. What did you see was so different in that series than what you thought it would look like?
The Astros were unbelievable. I watched all those games. They were unbelievable not chasing. And with that type of lineup, when you're not chasing and you're putting pitchers in a bind where they got to come in the zone, the Astros are going to pummel you. That's just how good their lineup. I thought your guy, Jake Myers, who I know you've been advocating for quite some time, I thought he was big in the series. I thought having a guy like that at the bottom of your lineup swinging the bat as well as he did was a big bonus. And so it's all with the Astros, man. When their offense is playing like that, it's the ultimate equalizer to whoever they're playing against. Now, they had so many streaks. They were so streaky at times during the season, it was tough to see that they could sustain it. But they certainly did in that first round. And when that offense is playing like this, this is a World Series contender. There's no doubt about it.
T, what do you attribute that to, man? I mean, it's one thing to have a couple of dudes that just have that keen of an eye at the plate and that kind of discipline. But when it gets to, you know, they're seven deep of guys that can do that. And then you talk about Jake Myers and you talk about Chaz McCormick and, you know, you talk about even Miles Straw back when Miles Straw was the center fielder. It just seems like whoever in the hell they plug in there has that the ability to go in there and have an unbelievably high quality at bat and force a pitcher to throw multiple pitches and really work to get them out. What do you attribute that to, man? That's not just guys getting just happen to be a group of guys that have a keen eye, right? I mean, there's got to be something they're working through, or the hitting coach or something.
No, there's no doubt. I think, you know, you have about three or four guys in that lineup that have been there for a while and understand how to conduct an at bat, what the purpose is when they're in the box. And if you're young and you're smart, you're watching. You're asking questions. You're learning. And this started back in spring training, mind you. So over the course of the year, you probably had spurts where guys weren't good at it. But the hope is by the time you get to this point in the season, everybody is locked in on it. And you can trust Bregman, Brantley, Correa. You can trust those guys are going to be there. Oh, don't make me forget Altuve. Those four set the tone every night. And when you've been working towards this goal from the start of the season to now, and the timing is right and you lock in at the same time, this is when you get the Astros lineup that won a World Series, that it didn't matter what the score was, who was pitching. They're going to put you in a bind, force you over to the middle of the plate, and when you make a mistake, they don't miss it. And that's how it was that entire White Sox series.
Tony, I got about 30 seconds. Real quick, for Astros fans, who are a couple of Red Sox players that they need to keep their eyes on that could really be a problem in this series?
I'll start with the pitcher, and Nathan Eovaldi. He seems to have really blossomed in these spotlight games like this in this time of the year. And then offensively, I mean, there's a number of guys. Kike Hernandez, former Dodger, he is taken to this Boston Red Sox team well. You obviously got Bogaerts, Endeavors, who are problems. And when they're at their best, guys in front of those guys are getting on, and it's open season, especially the way they're swinging the bat now. Now, I don't know that they're as locked in offensively as the Astros are, but they may be able to offset that a little bit with their pitching, because they got a pretty good rotation going. But to me, this is going to boil down to both offenses. Who's more locked in? I'd say right now going in, Houston's the better offense. They've been the most consistent. They've been the most explosive. But the Red Sox aren't far behind.
All right, Tony, man. We're excited and enjoy it. I know you're going to be watching, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, you guys take care.
All right, guys. That's our Sports Radio 610 Odyssey MLB insider, Tony Gwynn. He always joins us every Thursday at this time. And the people on the text line said they're glad that he picked. He sounds like he's picking the Red Sox because he's always wrong, is someone on the text line said. All right, coming up, your chance to get your fantasy football lineup set. Paul Charchi and Charch, one of the best in the business, joins the show next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
My mic's not on. It is now. All right, it is that time of the week where you get your fantasy lineup set up. Paul Charchi and Charch, CEO of GuillotineLeagues.com, the best in the business, joins us. And Charch, last week we watched the Texans offense throw up all over themselves and look awful. And we were wondering about Davis Mills because you were feeling pretty good about him before that.
I was.
This past week,
wow. He looked good.
He looked good. Look good, Charch. Hold on now. He did something that no rookie's ever done.
What's that?
300 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, and a passer rating over 140. No rookie has ever had a start like that. That's right. I'm out here giving knowledge out here to Charch before he gives it to us.
I like it. He looked every bit the part. And you know, the best thing about it was that it came after the game that it did. I mean, that could have hung with anybody, right? You play that badly and have that many turnovers and problems. You know, that thing could have carried over into his psyche, and it didn't. He went over and he did that on Bill Belichick. I mean, that was awfully impressive. And it gives some real hope for the future, doesn't it? I mean, I don't want to be prisoner of the moment and it's only one game, but that's the kind of stuff that you look at and go, well, there's a reason he could be a quarterback of the future for this team.
Well, you got to be a prisoner of the moment when you're talking about the quarterback situation in Houston, Purple Drank. That's just the way it is, man. I mean, there's 1 week, like, look, 2 weeks ago after the Buffalo game, I was like, there's nothing he can do. They got to save the franchise. Right. They got to bring stability to the franchise. There's nothing here. I mean, they got to bring stability. And then he goes out there and does what he does last week, and you're like, damn, hey, I don't know if he's not your starter the rest of the season. So, you got to be a prisoner of the moment here in Houston with the quarterback situation. What about the other players in Houston? Did last week's performance, did it do anything for you in a sense of how you look at Brandon Cooks or how you look at I know it doesn't do much for you the rest of the guys because that was the first time we've seen them perform.
Yeah, not yet. No, I mean we stay. You know, it's kind of the same story every week. Like Brandon Cooks, I always like Brandon Cooks. He's my number 19 ranked. A wide receiver this week, and it's actually potentially a lot of upside because this is a beat up Colts secondary that may be without Xavier Rhodes and Rock Ya-Sin, and that would be a real plus for him. If those guys don't go, Brandon Cooks becomes a top 10 fantasy play. Now, the guy I'm really excited about, who I love going into the season, Nico Collins is coming back soon. He may even play this week, right? Yeah. And I really want to see what that kid can do. With all due respect to Chris Conley, he's not a player for your future. Let's get Nico Collins a bunch of reps the moment he's ready and see what that kid's got.
Hey, you're singing to everybody here. Everybody wants to see Nico Collins. Charch is with us, CEO of GuillotineLeagues.com. Go check it out. Charch, around the league, and we'll get to the matchup tonight, but around the league, last Thursday we watched Russell Wilson have that awful injury to his finger, which is going to keep him out 6 to 8 weeks. And Geno Smith, he actually looked pretty good, a lot better than I thought he would look. How does that change of Russell affect a lot of the other parts? Because I know some people like myself have Tyler Lockett on their team. How does that change what you look at fantasy-wise with the Seahawks?
It's kind of hard to get a read on Geno Smith because we don't have a lot of experience with a quarterback who hasn't played for 7 years and then needs to come out and go manage a team for at least a month. And so, you know, what we remember from Geno Smith from, again, 2014, the last time he was a regular starter, was not good. He was a turnover machine who threw twice as many interceptions as he did touchdowns. That is a very bad ratio. But, you know, but that was 7 years ago. And he's been sitting in meeting rooms and he's been taking practice snaps. And you want to believe that he's going to be better now than he was. And I think you're right that he looked pretty good in the third of a game that we saw Geno Smith in. But here's what I can tell you for sure. He ain't throwing those beautiful rainbow pinpoint deep bombs that Russell Wilson was. That ain't Geno Smith right there. And so Seattle's going to throw less. They're going to throw downfield less. And guys like DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett become spot. They were just like every week. You just put them in your lineup no matter what. Now you're going to have to think a little bit more closely and analyze the matchups a little more closely. This is Pittsburgh this week, and Pittsburgh is a great run defense. They're a middle-of-the-pack pass defense, so I still have starting grades on those guys. But instead of being like top 15 guys like Metcalf and Lockett usually are, they rank 21 and 29 this week.
Well, you talk about that game. Hell, let's just stay there. You got Pittsburgh. You got Ben Roethlisberger on the other side of the ball, man. What are you doing with the Pittsburgh players?
Yeah, so, you know, we've talked about this a little bit in the past. Ben Roethlisberger looks mostly washed up at this stage of his career, and he's missing stuff like open guy 10 yards in the flats, and he's throwing it into the ground. You know, like, who are you? But he played better last week against a good Broncos defense, and now he gets maybe the worst secondary in the league, Seattle. Four straight teams have thrown for 322 yards or more. They've given up a three-touchdown game recently to Kirk Cousins, to the 49ers quarterbacks. And, you know, funny, Seattle's cornerbacks have been terrible. And they cut Trey Flowers outright this week, but they had demoted him the week before, and they had started a guy named Sidney Jones at cornerback. Since he took over, he's allowed a perfect passer rating, 158.3 in his coverage. So they have no answers at cornerback whatsoever, and Seattle's getting roasted. And so this is a watershed game for Ben Roethlisberger. If he can't do it here, then it's nowhere, and I think he's completely washed up. So an important game for Ben. Startable this week, even without Juju Smith-Schuster, but he's got to perform in this spot.
Charge, Clint and I, we talked about this earlier this week. We were taken aback by the performance of Lamar Jackson this week. Oof. I mean, only completing what – almost high 80% of his passes, four touchdowns, 60-plus rushing yards, no interceptions. And it's almost like you have to look at, from a fantasy perspective, everybody around him differently. Lamar was somebody you brought in, but receivers were iffy because Lamar's not always consistent throwing the football. Mm-hmm. Looking at what he has done this year, he has kind of changed the game for not only himself, and from a fantasy perspective, but all the other guys around him.
Here's my favorite stat of the week for you. Lamar Jackson by himself has more yards than 18 teams.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Isn't that nuts?
are the Texans one of them?
Yes.
Yeah.
let me answer that question for you.
For sure.
What he's doing is remarkable, and it makes him, he's the most fun player to watch in football and maybe all of sports, because every play can be special, and there's nothing not to like about him. And he's unlocked an amazing performance from Marquise Brown, his leading receiver. 11 touchdowns in 11 games. No receiver's got more touchdowns in the last 11 games than Marquise Brown does, and it feels almost fluky because guys like him are the deep downfield catch a bomb and score guys. Normally, they don't get enough volume and enough action to end up being that regular of a score. But man, Brown's just running through defenses, and it might be that this is just who he is, and that, you know, if Lamar's passing is going to be this good, and this isn't just a flash in the pan for a few games, because his passing's been inconsistent, in fairness. But if this is where he is now as a passer, it looks like we're heading for an MVP run for Lamar Jackson.
You know what's crazy is that game against Indy, obviously the numbers were gaudy and everybody wants to talk about those. Yeah. But if you really look at how he stacked those numbers, I mean, it was Eberflus in Indy, they had a little bit of a lead and felt good about where they were, and Baltimore had to come back. Yeah. Well, they were playing a bend don't break style, so it's not usually when you see Lamar Jackson throw for that kind of yardage, you go, boy, they must have had to load the box, and he just hit a couple of bombs away over the top, and you know had four passes that went for 70 plus yards, and that's how he stacked 400 plus. But in reality, if you watch that, I mean, it was a different Lamar Jackson. It was to me. I came in with Show, and we started talking about, okay, you can put Lamar Jackson, the athlete, to bed. Lamar Jackson, the quarterback, has arrived. He time and time and time and time again in that second half, dropped back, was comfortable in the pocket, processed what the hell was going on, threw in tight windows, anticipated, was accurate. That was unbelievable. It's hard to think that he's going to backslide off of that. If you watch that game, Paul, that was impressive.
Clint, I'm so glad you said that, because fantasy guys like me, we get enamored by rushing quarterbacks, and we got one tonight in Jalen Hurts. But at the end of the day, sooner or later, to be a great quarterback, you have to pass. You have to be able to be a really good passer. And that was the thing that was holding Lamar Jackson back, and that's been responsible for the early playoff exits. If he can turn the corner on the passing, then that's what makes him incredibly special. And that's what we're seeing right now. And I hope that the sample size that we've gotten so far is going to be legit. Remember, up until 3 weeks ago, he had gone a year without hitting 250 passing yards, which is nothing in today's NFL. So, you know, it's not a long sample size now, but I agree with you. The guy that we're seeing right now is reading the field and making great decisions with his arm. And if he becomes an above average or even like great passer, then Lamar Jackson's just, you know, what he can do is going to be maybe unparalleled.
And Church, Clint's serious. I mean, he just called you Paul.
I know we're having a moment right now.
That's when you know. That's when you know Clint has gotten. He has gotten damn dead it. Ass serious. Just called you Paul straight up out of it. Church, what about tonight's matchup? What should people look at in setting their lineups tonight?
I love Jalen Hurts. I think it all comes together for him, and I'm very excited. And let me tell you a little bit about why. So, normally when teams play the Bucs, the
best because our producer just shook his head four times, like hell no. What are you talking about, Chuck?
Why are you listening to Tyler? Anyway?
I don't know why. I don't.
All right. Here's how it goes against the Bucs and their elite run defense. With most teams, they spend like the first third of the game dorking around trying to establish the run against a team that's awesome against the run, and there's a bunch of punts, and then they go, oh, okay, that's not going to work, and then they pass for the rest of the game, and that's why Tampa's seeing a league-high 45 passes per game. But the Eagles aren't going to play that game because the Eagles don't run anyway. Their running backs are averaging, as a group, all of their running backs, averaging 8 carries a game for the last 3 weeks. They don't even try to run, and that leads them right into Tampa's weakness. They're without 3 members of their starting secondary. Winfield's out, Davis is out, Murphy Bunting's out, and that's going to give them opportunities to throw the ball deep. Devonta Smith, who's averaging almost 15 yards per attempt, is going to be sitting on a very nice game here, and their spy linebacker, Levante David, is out, and that's going to open up running lanes for Hurts. I think Hurts, for the first time, he's like 10 starts into his career. I think this is the game where he puts it together against a Super Bowl caliber team and splashes on a national stage in a big televised game. And I love what he could do in this one.
You heard it first right here on Sports Radio 610. Purple Drank Paul, Jalen Hurts, Channel View Zone. You got to get down to Twin Peaks, get you a bucket of Coors Light, and watch Channel View Zone do work tonight. Purple Drank saying it's going to happen. What about the other side of the ball, Leonard Fournette? What's his status?
So for really up until now, anytime Bruce Arians, you thought you had a read out of Bruce Arians' backfield and you knew what to do with one runner or the other, it would flip to the other way and you'd never know what to do. Arians had come out like midweek and he'd be like, oh, Ronald Jones had a great week of practice. We got to get him more involved. Dude's a straight up liar. And then Jones would do nothing. And all these fantasy owners are just dying by the wayside. But now it doesn't even matter. We don't care what Bruce Arians says anymore because the proof is in how they're using these backs. Ronald Jones is averaging 5 carries a game. Leonard Fournette's touching the ball 15 times per game, and that is enough to get fed from a fantasy perspective. He's caught the ball at least 3 times in every game. Last 2 weeks, Fournette, 250 yards over these 2 games, and he gets the Eagles. They just got mowed down by Chuba Hubbard. This is a great opportunity for Leonard Fournette, who I think now at this point looks like a safe weekly starter, and Bruce Arians can't mess that up.
All right, Church. Let everybody know what's going on Guillotine before we get you out of here.
We are still creating new Guillotine leagues if you want to try the freshest new format in fantasy sports, but also all my player rankings available for free. So if you've got sit start questions and you don't know which guy you should play, you can get my player rankings and explanations for nothing at guillotineleagues.com.
All right, Charge, man. Have a good one. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you in a week. See you guys. Bye-bye.
All right, that's Paul Charchian, CEO of guillotineleagues.com. He joins us every week to help us get our fantasy lineups going. And, Clint, I'm just listening to the conversation we were having with Charge about Lamar Jackson. I feel like like some people may not completely understand like how unfair it will be if he can throw the ball anywhere near the way he did on Monday. Like if that mm-hmm. becomes anywhere close to the norm with everything else that he does, like we think Patrick Mahomes is such an unstoppable force, and he is. Like if Lamar can throw the ball like that with what he does with his legs, I mean it is completely unfair, and we've like literally never seen anybody come close to that. What maybe the closest thing is your old teammate Randall?
RC.
Maybe Cunningham. I mean, but not to that extent.
Yeah. Now Mike Vick probably. I mean that would be I don't know that
he just didn't even throw it nearly that
Oh, there's nobody that's had that kind of speed and that kind of twitch, athletic ability that's been able to just go out there and dissect defenses the way that Lamar Jackson did it last week. There's nobody. I mean, that's why it blows everybody away when he's able to do it, is because that combination is damn near unstoppable. Now, I do think that if Matt Eberflus and Indy, the defensive coordinator in Indy, had it to do over again, they wouldn't get a 16-point lead and just bank on the odds of them not being able to score a two-point conversion, go down and win the ball game, right? But so there's a reason why they were giving him I would imagine, I haven't seen the All-22, but I would imagine that he was getting a pretty consistent vanilla look, and then he was just disciplined and was absolutely dissecting underneath. I don't care what they were giving him. As I'm watching that particular football game, I don't care if it was a vanilla look, right? And if it was a bend, don't break. As I'm watching that game, his ability to know where to go with the football, his ability to consistently get completions, his ability to drive the ball in tight windows multiple times, his ability to throw the football from inside the 10-yard line multiple times, and like the margin of error is slim to none in those situations. It's just you cannot watch that and go, well, I doubt Lamar Jackson. Now, you can doubt whether he can consistently do that, and because the NFL is going to change and it's going to be more difficult and teams are going to be able to man him up and they're going to pressure him, they're going to disguise coverage and things of that nature, but you can't watch what Lamar Jackson did and go, oh, that was just No, that was a major, major development moment, coming out party, if you will, that took Lamar Jackson to a whole nother level.
Yeah, we'll see what he does Sunday. They got a big one. They play the Chargers at home. We'll see with Derwin James and company if he'll be able to throw the ball the way he did in that game, because, as you said, man, he is completely unstoppable if he's able to play that way. And it's scary. It's scary to think, because it don't matter who their running backs are. It don't matter. They've had all kinds of – it don't matter. The way he's playing, both running and throwing the ball, because at some point – you got to play to say, all right, man, I got to stop him passing the ball like that, and then you just open yourself up for him to be able to run the ball.
You think about it, Show. They didn't even. You mentioned the running backs being hurt, so they're doing it. They're doing it without, you know, one of their powers that be.
Stanley's out.
Their first round was it a first round or second round? The receiver they took out of Minnesota, Bateman. He hadn't.
Ronnie Stanley's been hurt,
right?
Left tackle.
Yeah, so I mean they're doing it. You start talking about now. You plug in that receiver. You plug in some other pieces. You eventually down the road one day you get some backs healthy so they can help you again. I mean, good gosh! I mean, the sky's the limit if he can do those kind of things. No question.
Yes. All right. Tim Kelly, the offensive coordinator, spoke to the media today, and he addressed some really big issues with this offense. We'll let you hear what those are and talk about that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.